Welcome to the God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. The church would have me remind all who are listening that we believe that the words in the Bible come from God, that God who created everything cares about us, and God who cares about us is trying to communicate with us, and God uses His Word first. I'll also mention Jesus, and Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." I'm a minister of God's Word, which means I'm here to apply the Word of God to our situation, here to open the words of God for you to hear them, and I hope for you to come to understand what the God I serve wants to say to you today in your situation. I would want you to know of God's love, to know God's comfort, and our Lord's peace. And we believe that what God tells us in His Word is true, even though parts of the Bible are thousands of years old. They still are able to speak to us. I will mention Jesus as well. The Bible tells us Jesus was the Son of God. We have an affirmation of our faith, which we share each time we gather. Today's affirmation is from the letter called 2 Timothy in the first chapter. "For this reason," the apostle writes, "I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, His prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life." The reading of God's Word for today is from the letter of the Apostle to the churches in and around the city of Ephesus in the fourth chapter, verses 17 through 32. It's a little lengthy, but I think you'll see how it all fits together. "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They're darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more." And I think the congregation here, let me add parenthetically that I think the congregation here can say amen to the apostles' viewpoint. The apostle continues in verse 20, "You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you." May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. Today's sermon deals with inappropriate behavior, inappropriate for Jesus' followers and for those who are not Jesus' followers. As we shall see, behavior can be dangerous and even criminal. Last week I talked about a moment in American history when two very different cultures clashed in America in 1621. European culture, Native American culture. They ran into each other, but they decided to share a meal together. We've since called it the First Thanksgiving. Two cultures, two languages, two ways of living, two very different religions, and those two very different groups of people sat down to a feast. Together, they sat down to a feast and went on for 3 days. I believe they had fun, or at least as much fun as Puritans would allow themselves. Last week, I also said that I'm not naive. I don't think the pilgrims would ever come to my Thanksgiving dinner because I'm too free a Christian thinker, even though the pilgrims and I agree on many basic points concerning the Christian faith. I'm not naive. In all my readings, our two cultures, European and Native American, our two cultures were probably too different to live very long as we consider good neighbors. But as Christians, I want to believe it could have been possible and still is possible. I want to believe that as Christians, not as colonists, but as Christians, we could have loved our neighbor, but we failed to continue to do so. But I admit that today there are people in this country who make it difficult for us to love our neighbors, and I will talk about them next week. That means today, because that's part of what I said last week. But let me say it again. Those Christians, that Thanksgiving feast, two cultures, two languages, two ways of living, two very different religions, and those two very different groups of people sat down to a feast. They sat down to a feast that went on for 3 days. Americans have trouble doing that today, sitting down with people who are different than they are. American Christians have trouble doing that today. American Christians have trouble tolerating lots of people who are different than they are. Tolerating them, I'm not even suggesting acceptance. I'm not suggesting acceptance. I'm suggesting tolerance. But some American Christians won't do it. Some American Christians won't tolerate some people, but they will tolerate other people. And the tolerance does not make much sense when you compare them. March 25th this year in Ohio, a 20-year-old Ohio man was taken into custody last week for allegedly attempting to firebomb a church with Molotov cocktails to prevent a drag queen story hour for children. Eamon Penny was arrested and charged with one count of possessing a destructive device, one count of malicious use of explosive materials during his attack on the community church of Chesterland. In Chesterland, Ohio. I like what the federal district attorney said. Violence and destruction are never an acceptable way to express a disagreement with a particular viewpoint. First Assistant U.S. Attorney, Northern District of Ohio. Charleston, South Carolina, 8 years ago, June 17, 2015, 12 people were gathered at Emmanuel AME Church for an evening Bible study when a stranger walked in. The parishioners invited him to worship. They invited a young white man in who had just turned 21 years of age to worship in an historically African-American church. During the Bible study, Dylan Roof shot and killed 9 African-American people in their church. Dylan Roof is serving time on death row in Terre Haute, Indiana. Mr. Roof has shown no remorse or sorrow for his murders of innocent people. Mr. Roof stated at his trial that he still feels that he had to do it. I'm not aware that either Mr. Penny or Mr. Roof claim any religious faith. However, their crimes were perpetrated at Christian houses of worship in the United States. The two men certainly demonstrate intolerance. Those two men demonstrated intolerance against Christians with little regard for the particulars of those Christians' beliefs. Me, I don't understand exactly why a church might sponsor a drag queen reading hour for children. I do understand holding a Bible study that is open to anyone. But it didn't matter and it doesn't matter. Both of those churches were victims of violence, even deadly violence. You know what Jesus said about love and the neighbor. You know what the apostle said in our reading today. In your anger, do not sin. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. I should probably have you notice that the church in Chesterland, Ohio has officially forgiven Mr. Penny, who set fire to their church. However, they want Mr. Penny prosecuted to the full extent of the law. I have taught that very same thing. Forgiveness doesn't mean that the laws on the books have to let you go free. The Bible expects people to reap what they sow. If someone hurts you, you can forgive them, but that doesn't mean that you ever have to spend time with them again. That's especially true if your health or safety would be at stake. I read an article recently, that's why I'm even on this topic. It was a health poll done before the world pandemic, showed that Americans are angrier than a generation ago. A generation ago is in our own lifetime. We're all living longer now. We seem to have daily news that confirms this anger, and I would notice again the ages of the criminals I have mentioned, age 19 and 21. But our news daily records in-flight passenger fights, road rage incidents. Some of the recent road rage incidents locally were deadly. So far this year, Indiana State Police have investigated 23 shootings on Indianapolis area interstates. Last year, there were 27 shootings on the same date of October. Those don't include a much larger number of road rage cases where guns are displayed or pointed without being fired. October this year, 21-year-old Carlos Avalar got mad when a car tried to pass him, so he sped up, refused to let the victim over, started brake checking the other car, and allegedly fired shots from his car, although the victim was not hurt. July of this year, a different incident. According to court documents, a couple began to drive away from a yelling man when he started shooting at the van, breaking the window. The shooter, later identified as Andre Martin, proceeded to chase the two and kept firing at them. Court documents say the driver was shot twice during the chase and multiple other bullet holes were found on the side of the van. Besides road rage, there have been fights at even high school athletic events. There was a shooting in our state capital 2 weeks ago at a high school athletic event. This stuff isn't racially motivated or politically motivated. Please notice that. This violence isn't racially motivated or politically motivated. Many professionals simply call it anger out of control. These shootings or killings could not be described as premeditated murder. They're killings at an occasion, an event. Some have happened even at a party. Those shootings at parties are always beyond me. Who decides that taking a gun to a party is a good idea? Or why would you go to a party if you think that you might need your weapon? Are there no other parties you could go to where you would not need a weapon? Maybe I just think too much. Again, these incidents I mentioned just now, these violent outbursts, are not hate crimes against a group of people. These violent outbursts are not anger at politics. These violent outbursts are not premeditated. These killers do not know their victims. I remember talking to a psychologist who was often seeing patients ordered by the court to go to a psychologist for road rage incidents. The psychologist always asks the rage person that what happened, and the explanation was often the same. That person cut me off in traffic. And the psychologist further asked, were you then in danger? Did you almost crash? The answers are no. Did you almost run into another vehicle? Answer, no. So why did you get so angry? Answer, because they cut me off in traffic. What the psychologist wanted the raging person to consider is whether you become angered or frustrated or feel threatened, why does violence seem to be the natural response? That's the problem, isn't it? Violence has become a natural response when Americans get angry. And all of a sudden, we see God's wisdom in His law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Would that those who feel hurt or angered by words or action would respond with words or actions. Not violence, not guns, not firebombs, not murder, not mass murder. No one killed 9 members of Dylann Roof's family, and yet Dylann Roof killed 9 members of one church family. No one burned down Mr. Penny's house, who was from Chesterland Church, and yet Mr. Penny tried to burn down the Chesterland House of Worship. If only these were isolated incidents, but as I've tried to recite to you, these crimes are not isolated. The police report says there are more and more of these crimes. How does this concern you? My fear is that these incidents will concern you because all of the victims were innocent. You and I don't have to have done anything wrong to be victims of crime. The day I was working on this sermon, the news was of a man who opened fire in an Ohio Walmart and wounded 4 people, 3 of them critically, before suiciding. I also read of an apparent property dispute that led to a shooting leaving 3 dead and 1 critical. The killers were adult males. From the Christian side of it, I quoted in an earlier sermon, 56% of American Christians feel their spiritual life is entirely private. Entirely private. How are we going to love our neighbors or love our enemies? Jesus said we're to do that also. How are we going to love our enemies or love our neighbors privately? I would suggest that private spirituality isn't helping anyone. Being a private Christian isn't helping others, and it isn't even helping ourselves if we still wind up being shot, killed, or burned out. We don't have to open our homes to strangers or pick up hitchhikers. We do what we can do about the needs we know about. And we tell them that Jesus sent us. I don't think we have to do much more than that, as long as the Lord gets credit for any good we do. Are we loving people, but only the ones that are easy to love? Jesus, the apostles, and the early church leaders knew it wasn't easy to love, even to love all the people in their own churches, even all the Christians in their own churches. So how can Christians love despite all the difficulties and all the difficult people and all the impossible people? And the answer is God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The apostle pleads with his churches to be of the same mind as Jesus. Now, I wanted to read about 3 pages of a psychologist's book, but I need to wrap up this sermon, so I won't do it. But please hear what Dr. Kennett says in his book. First of all, Dr. Kennett says anger is biological. Even if we deny that we are angry, our blood pressure or our muscles tense up or the veins sticking out on our necks betray us. Even if we try to convince ourselves we are not angry or use other words like I'm upset or I'm bothered, our bodies will tell us we're angry. But anger does not naturally lead to violence. Hence the Bible's wisdom, be angry. Because you probably can't stop your body's response. So be angry, but don't sin and don't commit a crime. Dr. Kennett says we have learned how to express our anger when we were young. We learned how to express our anger when we were young. Learning was how all of us got to where we are with our anger expressions. We may have learned different ways to express anger, but the method of learning was the same. And since we all have brains, used or unused, we can unlearn how we express our anger and learn a different way to express our anger. I once had someone say to me, "Well, I don't want to make you angry." And I quickly said, "Oh, you've never seen me angry." That's not much good. There's not much good in the pastor expressing his anger in the heat of the moment. Anger is energy, and I try to figure out how to channel my anger energy into something constructive or helpful. That's how nonprofits and foundations get started. Mothers Against Drunk Driving came out of the anger of parents' children killed by drunk driving. They've expanded to mothers or people against dumb decisions like drinking and driving, or dumb decisions like letting friends drive drunk, or dumb decisions like allowing friends to drink and drive. Since people learn how to express their anger, then Christian examples of anger expression are worthwhile. And for those who claim, "Oh, my anger's different," you only have to claim that we are all the same species of human being. We can unlearn a violent response to anger. And we can learn a better response to our anger. There was a time in my life that I beat a pillow with a piece of rubber hose. That was only necessary a couple of times. It didn't hurt the hose or the pillow or me. I used to tell people that great-grandma might have gotten mad at great-grandpa, so what did great-grandma do? She took the rugs outside and beat them. Be angry, but sin not. Have you ever thought it might be up to us Christians to show the world a better way? Jesus' prayer was to the Heavenly Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus said, "Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and the disciples know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." That the world may know that you, Father, have sent me and have loved them, the disciples, even as you, Father, have loved me. Amen.